is it dead this time?
Oh my God, you guys, look at this.
Oh, I really wanted to quote our favorite line from Return of the Living Dead just then. So, you guys know what this means, right?
That, no.
Guys?
Don't even say it.
This
How?
Is
How?
A
I'm
zombie!
Serious. He said it.
Fucking zombies!
Saying it doesn't make it real.
Not saying it doesn't make it less real.
Guys!
We have worse problems.
What's worse than a zombie?
Several of them.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Two Guys and Some Horror. My name is Princess Clark, and today I'm joined with my ever so wonderful partner in crime, Queen Curtis. Curtis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, dude. Don't know why I'm being called Queen, but I'll take it. That's a high honor.
Are you uncomfortable with that?
No, I'm very comfortable with it. Give it to me, baby.
Well, I'm just checking, give it to me, baby. All right, I love it. I love the energy. Today, my friend, we are discussing a movie that I don't think you enjoyed. This may be one of the few movies that you may not have enjoyed.
We'll see.
We watched Bong of the Living Dead, which I'm pretty sure not many people who are listening to this have seen it. You're free to watch it. I don't think we're going to spoil much in terms of anything. I don't think this movie is spoilable. There are many twists. There are many turns. A lot of them make no sense whatsoever. A few fun jokes here and there. You can tell they had fun with the script. They tried to have fun making this movie. But, Curtis, you and I were just talking about this, too. Like, how this movie was made.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, okay. And this film was an Indiegogo campaign.
It was.
And they raised,
So basically
they
raised
some money.
I did a very minute amount of looking up just to kind of figure out what this movie was about, because obviously watching it, you get,
right.
Anyone can go out and shoot a film these days as long as you have the passion, the creativity to go make something, you know, the will. And I think one thing that we'll talk about a little bit as well, that you mentioned before, which is like the support, someone helping support you and telling you, yeah, keep going, man, like you're doing good, keep going. And I think that's a huge factor when it comes to being creative and coming up with something. So the fact that it is an Indiegogo project doesn't like bother me. I love that idea that we can go out and pitch an idea and somebody could donate money to you or me and we could create something that we want to create, right? That's amazing.
So this is a passion project. I don't know how long it took to write the script. I don't know, like, most of these actors are not big names. Some of them have been in TV, some of them have been in commercials. I don't want to poo-poo on the acting or the direction or anything like that, but this is definitely has the feeling of being a film created by a bunch of community college students trying to just, you know, get into their first foray. Very and I don't want to use the word amateur, but you know, it's like the camera, the angles, the transitions, those are done well. The acting's not great. It's a little hammy at times, a little kind of cringe. I would say the main character is absolutely cringe, but you know,
who do you consider the main character?
The guy who stays at the end in the fighter jacket. I don't remember his name.
So that's our favorite. Our lovable know-it-all when it comes to zombies and how to handle it, Hal Rockwood.
Rockwood, yeah. I felt like they put the most emphasis on him as a character. They tried to make everyone seem like they had a big, big part in terms of, like, the five. Six of them, I guess, if you count the small blonde girl. But you see a lot of tits, just, standard. It's a... it's a zombie film, and I like that. Whoa,
what's your definition of a lot of tits? Because you get two pairs of tits in this movie. That's it. That's
you
all get we
two
get.
Pairs right two, off back two to pairs. Back. You get to see the small blonde girl's tits, and then uh-huh. you get to see the girl in the truck's tits, and it's like yeah. back to back. So like, and I was just like, wow, there are lots of tits. And then you see
that's all before the
small
the title
blonde
screen.
Girl's quite a few. You see hers quite a few times. Yeah, well, it takes 20 minutes to get to that title screen.
Yeah,
and which is a long time. That's a long time for a screen crawl, especially with that slow build up to get to the zombies.
I really enjoyed the title.
I guess they were trying to go for.
For what?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I really enjoyed that
title
scroll.
I thought this was like that 70s show.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It was. It was great. They did most of the credits at the very beginning, which was cool of them. And they just showed the zombies kind of come out. And I was like, wow, this is going to be great. I'm here. I'm sold. I'm in. First 20 minutes kind of set the tone. And then. It's okay. After that, it's okay. I feel like there's the weird shit with the twins, the stoner twins. One of them's like saying a bunch of voodoo crap, right?
Yeah, she's spouting
and she's
a bunch
saying
of
like the
different scripture or like literature.
She's like,
it's very weird.
But she like gives some prediction, like the drug that you do, like marijuana, will prevent you from becoming a zombie or something like that. And I was like, is that why this film is called Bong of the Living Dead? Is there an actual point to the name other than the fact that all six of these characters just really like getting high?
Yeah, I mean, they end up using that as a tool later on at the end of the film, right, for a climax?
Yeah, well, the baseball bat, but they've been using it at the very beginning.
No, I'm talking about
like
the giant leaf blower of marijuana is how they actually escape, right? So, like, it,
right.
In a way, she's foreshadowing, you know, what they're going to do, the way that they're actually going to get away from the zombies at the end of the movie. Whether they even thought that far ahead or realistically put those two pieces together and did it on purpose, no idea, because
leaf
that whole scene
is not a bong,
is,
though. So
that whole scene is crazy.
I don't know.
It's a giant bong.
Leaf blower is not a bong. That's not how a bong works. That's not a bong, Curtis.
Did you see it
it's
get built?
It's a smoke blowing device.
Yes, and then
was
the,
there water?
The water, yes. The actual bong apparatus on the back is
it's
what
an actual bong. Curtis knows more about weed than I do.
Maybe I don't know.
Just kidding. I'm joking with you. No. So this film's absolutely. Like you're saying, man, like the baseball bat was also was it a pipe, I guess, but mm-hmm. yeah, no,
which I thought was cool.
I get
like
it. It makes sense,
especially because they tie in so much from when they were younger kids. The whole opening, like the first 5 minutes of this movie is them telling a story about when they were younger, sneaking into, you know, old man, whatever. It's a Sandlot skit basically where
they get,
you know,
that, well,
ball...
the first 5 minutes. Yeah. And they get the bat.
Uh-huh. So they're all, you know, the whole story is about getting that bat, and then it cuts to them smoking weed out of said bat, and the angry neighbor
yeah.
next door yelling at them. It's it was a really nice setup.
We get to see that John's kind of a prick to his girlfriend / childhood friend. Yeah, that's interesting. The whole overprotective boyfriend thing.
Well, it was nice that they built that relationship in the movie because. They're not boyfriend girlfriend until the end. They're just, you know, that group, that five, that clique were friends. Technically, it was four. Kate comes in older, but the four of them were really good friends when they were younger. And then John and that character create, you know, you could tell there's that tension, that sexual tension. They want to be together, but it's weird because they're friends. And
it's like a big brother little sister relationship for a lot of it, and it's just kind of awkward.
And then finally, they just take the plunge.
I kind of felt like it was a bit shoehorned in there.
A lot of this film is shoehorned. I'm not gonna go down that.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, here's the trope. We're putting this in here for reasons.
Reasons?
I don't know.
The one big like weird part of this film to me is Christ. The character, like, most
Christ,
of the story arc revolving around Christ. When he's not in that weird, dramatic, overly dramatic, forced conflict scenes, I think he's great. I love that character. I think Christ is hilarious. But the minute that he gets all moody and yells at his girlfriend and the cereal, I'm just like, what the hell?
He's supposed to be
the
happy-go-lucky guy, and his girlfriend's like the only likable character in this entire fucking movie, but she just dies of.
Dude, I want to buy one of those necklaces.
I want to buy one of those necklaces. She should make me a fucking one. When she tells him to get over his fucking self, I'm like, hell yeah.
Finally.
Better get over your fucking self.
Right?
Because I was like, okay. As soon as he starts being a little bitch, that's when the film kind of goes sour for me. Because I was enjoying it up until that point.
I messaged you and I specifically asked, I want to know when you were going to feel like it became less fun. And I think we had pretty much the same area, I think.
Yeah, no, I felt like, okay, I liked Hal, but I felt like he was a little bit too much. Who's the guy that's in Independence Day who flies up into the rectum of the spaceship? That guy.
Isn't that also the dad from Casper?
It might be the guy who his brother's a very attractive, famous, well-placed actor, and he's just a character actor who's now living in Canada due to tax evasion.
Yeah, hold on. We're on the same page. It's this. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
It could be. I don't know.
So it's Dr. Hyde's Bill Pullman.
It's not Bill Pullman. No.
Not Bill Pullman. He's the one from Independence Day.
Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman's attractive.
Oh, no, he's the president.
No, he's not the one that flies the ship into the rectum of the spaceship. Who is it? Famous. Anyhow, that doesn't matter at all. I'm sure someone listening to the podcast will write in a comment section for you, and you can get it from there, or we can look it up later.
Sure.
What really matters is that this movie is okay. But
so let's be clear. Clark picked this movie.
Yeah.
It isn't this movie. It's not like we're judging this movie, whether it's good or bad or whatever. We like picking a lot of movies that we just haven't seen and that look fun. And I'm going to tell you right now, this movie has a lot of moments that are fun. You can find a lot of fun things about this movie. But I also think it is what it is at the end of the day. It is what it is.
Yeah. There are some really good gags in this film. Like Doug Duggerson is this newscaster, and there's like a scene where he's arguing with the other newscaster and he's like, "Don't bring my mother into this. A lot of men breastfeed until they're 18.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then zombies attack and he gets up and he's in his underpants and he starts screaming. It's good. It's great. Some of these things
well, he's
are
a news anchor.
Good. Like,
just to make it clear, he's a news anchor. So you only ever see him from, the midsection up. So underneath, he's just in his boxer shorts and he's got, I think, dress socks on and dress shoes, but no pants for some reason.
This is basically a bit like Freaked.
Yes.
This is a cringier version of Freaked in a way. But they try to shoehorn in a bit more drama. And. Which doesn't work. The zombies look kind of goofy.
Kill me now with the drama part of this film. Like,
I didn't really care. Yeah, you could have gotten rid of it. Having Kate get bitten, like, that could have been the only drama piece you kept in there. And then, like, make it so the weed is actually the cure for zombieism or something. Because that would have been hilarious. I don't know.
They definitely left the movie open. For a sequel, right? For the attempt at trying to round out maybe some of those questions that are left unanswered. Like, well, how do we get past the zombie apocalypse? Because I think the funniest part is, if you look at the scenes throughout this movie, these dudes who put this together, right? Their whole, like, the goal was to make a movie that was a stoner zombie apocalypse film that they would want to be in or watch or be a part of. And I think they nailed it. Yeah. From that perspective, they did exactly what they were trying to do. They took lots of parts of different zombie films that they really enjoyed, and they made it really funny. Even the scene where Kate does get bit, they have to chop her arm off. And then the blonde girl who, God forbid, I can't remember her actual character name, but I think she was Christ's girlfriend, right? She goes and has that shower moment, and if you listen to the music, it reminds me of so many other dramatic scenes in zombie films where the characters are just completely breaking down and having that moment of like, what the hell is going on? How are we going to survive this? She's just in the shower crying, washing the blood off of herself. And I'm like, this is good. This is good drama. They nailed this scene. But then the other stuff with Christ yelling at the girlfriend and him always leaving and causing drama and like all that was just a little excessive. Well, it was just a bit much.
The tone of the film was a bit all over the place, which is the issue. You can't, it's like a bipolar girlfriend or boyfriend, however you want to picture that, or Apache helicopter friend. It's just a awkward situation where you have the hot, the cold, the laughter, and everything all at once, and you're not supposed to feel those at the same time, and it just leaves you confused at the end.
I can't agree more. I definitely agree 100%.
It's boring at points. It's like there's too much going on at points. I feel like this could have been put on the chopping block and had a lot cut out and a lot of editing in the script and just really understanding, hey, what are we trying to go with? Even if it's a fun stoner flick, like that's good too, man. Like I understand that, but most stoner flicks don't do everything all at once.
No. I mean, this is, you know, I don't want to just sit here and beat a dead horse about the areas where it could improve. I think, like you mentioned beforehand, breaking down the characters, talking about different characters that we liked and whatnot, would be a little bit easier to do. I think one of the high points in this film for me, especially, was the music that was used a lot of times. There's a really fun song while the crew's getting high and they're talking about what could have caused the zombie apocalypse. You know, is it an infection? Is it a virus? Is it a bite? Is it a, you know, whatever. They're going through all the different types of zombies that we've seen in film. There's a really fun song. I couldn't find what it's called. I don't know if anyone knows what it is. I'm going to probably look some more after the episode. But it was so much fun. Like I want to listen to that song again because something I can enjoy. But I mean, for the film as a whole, I mean, will I watch this again? Probably not. I watched it twice in 2 days, so that's probably more than enough for me for now. You know, they've got to a lot of like film festivals, which I think is amazing. You know, the film was done back in 2017. They went to 11 different film festivals in total from the beginning of 2017 to the end of 2018. It's finally made its way to Amazon Prime, which is how we watched it. Not sponsored, but always check Amazon Prime. And they won some awards, you know, best director, best supporting actress, stuff like that. So it's really good to see that an indie film can get some love. And that's exactly where they kind of got their love, was at film festivals and whatnot. And I think it could be something cool moving on in the future.
Fun.
Who's do you want to break down any characters then?
Let's talk about the six friends. We'll talk about the childhood friends first. I think we should start with the one we did start with already, which is Christ. Whenever somebody says Jesus Christ and he says, don't use my name like that,
not my name, just call me Christ.
Yeah
That's a constant joke that I think could have been killed early on. Earlier on, but it also helps, I think, spread that the dramatic moment between him and his girlfriend at the time, because she's just trying to come and check on him, and then she's like Jesus, and he's like, I told you not to call me that, and she goes, I was just saying a phrase. And then that's when you could tell I think she knocked it out of the park. But for Christ, he's definitely your comedic relief. Like I thoroughly enjoyed him
and then he invites the zombies in to murder all his friends for one last fight to go to Valhalla, and then he changes his mind as soon as Hal gets a nip. So
I love how Hal just punches him right in the face, knocks him out to knock some sense into him. It's great. Let's see. So Hal, that's a great segue. We could talk about Hal next.
Talk about Hal. Yeah, Hal.
He's had that jacket Hal's since he was a kid.
Hal's got the weird eyes. He's got the weird darting back and forth eyes that kind of go all over the place. He just looks like he's always... He kind of talks... He kind of talks like this. He stops. And then he goes again. And he just kind of... He's the one that's super excited about killing all the zombies. Like, he's got a huge hard-on for the undead.
Well, he's been planning it since, they said, what, third grade?
Yeah, he's been planning for it. But, like, Kate's kind of annoyed with them, but there's secretly a thing between the two of them.
You want to know something funny about that?
Both of them. What?
So, Kate and Hal... Right, Kate is played by Tiffany Arnold, and Hal is played by Daniel Kiley. Tiffany Arnold has recently changed her name to Tiffany Kiley. I think those two actually got married IRL, and now are together. And I was trying to find some info on that on the internet as well, but they're not like A-list celebs, so it's really hard to dig and find that information. But if any listeners are wanting to validate that, let us know, because I think that's pretty cool. These two obviously had some on-screen chemistry. They did have a relationship in the film. And then if they ended up going on after the film was made to then get married, that's even cooler. That's really nice to hear. I mean, just another reason why indie films and film in general could be fun. Like, there's little things like that that can happen while on the set.
Isn't
but yes.
That thing.
Thing. That thing.
That cute. That cute.
It's a meet cute. Badoomch. So Christ, Hal, Tara is the third member of this group. She's the little girl that you see hanging out with them when they're kids. And she's kind of always like the friend who you ignore because she's a girl and you're a group of guys. So like when they're in there...
She's the girl.
Yeah, when they're nerding about zombies and stuff, she's just like, can we just go outside and play? And they're like, what? No, like, are you kidding me? No.
No, she's got a crush on one of the guys in the group, and she's always hanging out with them, and it always looks like they're dating. Now, everybody jokes about them dating, but God forbid they actually date, because, you know, TV shows. they wind up dating at the end, like we talked about that earlier, but she's kind of just there. She's kind of just there. If she wasn't in the... If she and John's characters were completely cut out, this movie would have been better.
Yeah, I mean, it could have. I think Dan Nye's one of the better actors out of the guys in the group. So to lose him in the film as a whole would kind of suck. But the character John definitely could have... I mean, that story arc wasn't really needed. Nothing pivotal happened, right? He didn't come up with the idea of how to get out of the house or anything like that. He's just pretty much a sidekick. He's him and Tara both are just sidekicks throughout most of the film.
He's in quite a few, he's getting quite a bit of work too. So he's definitely probably him and Tiffany Kiely are probably the two that I would say are the two most prolific actors that I saw in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, oh, and the guy who played Coach Jeffers. That was kind of creepy though.
Yeah, the voice, the way they did the ADR for him was kind of weird because it definitely didn't fit, like, the look or feel of his character. He made his voice all grumpy and sound like that. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? Just use your regular voice, man. It would have been fine. We didn't need any extra craziness.
I don't know, the whole pedophilia shit and all that stuff that they kind of added in.
Nope.
I'm not gonna, they went there.
They made him the pedophile. Funny. Yep.
It made me uncomfortable.
Especially because those twins, I mean, the twins don't look...
They look like they're 16.
Yeah, they don't necessarily look like they fit in high school, but I mean, they definitely
said they were in high school.
They definitely could be high schoolers, and that's too far.
Something that made them high schoolers, and they're a creeper.
Anytime someone tells you they're that age, they're definitely not that age, though. I'm 16. No, you're not. But the fact that they're hanging around the video store, that makes it interesting.
Yeah. Well, everybody's smoking weed all the time in this film. A lot of weed is smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's always high. We get to watch them watch TV, the Spanish shopping network. As we kind of move away from the conversation, like moving away from Tara, but like Dan's kind of just there too. He plays the guitar and he had the childhood thing with Tara, right? And then from there, it's the girlfriend of Christ, who is probably the most likable character and the only one whose name I don't know. I think it was Misty. I'm not sure.
I want to guess that it's Misty, but yeah, I can't remember her name right now off the top of my head.
Well, whatever it was, she was adorable. She did a great job. She's probably the only character I liked. And then when she got yelled at and was told that she was stupid and she just like reacted in such a way, I was like, yes.
Do you remember? Or
yes, get over.
Do you want to know who she reminds me of?
Who she reminds you of?
Sherry Moon, like a young Sherry Moon.
You think so?
I think she could play a young Firefly. Yeah, I think she could totally do that role if they ever wanted to do a prequel. She's got that cute blonde curly hair just like Sherry Moon. And her delivery, yeah. I thought she was going to be a crazy person at some point and flip the script on everybody and be, you know, the reason why the zombies break in or something. And I was completely wrong.
Just a happy-go-lucky hippie character.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think she reminds me a lot of Sherry Moon.
Sherry Moon's great, dude. Absolutely huge fan of Rob Zombie and Sherry Moon. I think she's my favorite actress.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. I definitely enjoy her work.
We covered it all
without all
friends, but
without any of the story, we've done everything we can do so far. So I'm sure you're going to ask me.
Zombies show up. They come in and they start killing people and the townspeople, like at first, you know, I thought this was going to be a movie about like the townspeople kind of gathering up and just controlling the zombies because there's a car wash going on with somebody like playing with a zombie like a pet.
Well, and it's like, the sign on the zombie. Yeah, it's zombie awareness car wash. They're holding this car wash to make people aware that there are zombies.
Yeah. I'm just so curious about how all that went out. And then as soon as they see all this stuff, they're like, okay, we're done. We're going to go hide. Let's go back in the house because I thought we were going to be able to kill all the zombies. But apparently the zombies are still winning despite everybody knowing about them. People are still like turning into them.
Well, yeah, they're fast zombies. They're not slow zombies.
Yeah. Going on with my camera.
I don't know. It just went crazy. Hi, welcome back.
That's weird. Hey, it's great being here. What's your favorite part though?
So favorite part of the movie as a whole is probably when that really fun song plays. When they're all kind of talking about and gearing up and preparing and getting ready for the to go out and actually fight the zombies. It's before
and then
they all go outside. To bed. Well, it's before they go to bed and then wake up and then go outside. Yeah. This is their fatal flaw, right? If they wanted to get out there and start killing zombies, they needed to do it that night. Instead, they got high. They got really high and talked about a bunch of shit, but they never actually went and did anything. That's your number one problem, right? With stoners in films is like, yeah, they just get high and they just sit around. They don't do anything. That's exactly what happened. And then they go outside and everybody else is already, you know, the lynch mob has already been formed in the neighborhood. The other high school kids in the neighborhood, the jocks, are having a car wash. Typical jocks in high school, right? Car wash for everything. So I thought that was funny. And the stoners just arrived
so much
too late. Well, man, shit. I wonder if they got any Yoo-Hoo,
they
Clark.
Took too long.
You got any Yoo-Hoo?
I could go for a Yoo-Hoo right now.
No, yeah, that's my favorite scene.
That is when the movie went. I guess that could be when the movie went, eh, we're not gonna, this is as good as it gets, guys.
Yep.
I was running off of that high for a while. Anyhow, my favorite scene of the movie. When it was over.
Okay.
No.
Hey, you. No, this is great, I don't know.
So. I like Doug Duggerson. Doug Duggerson. Whenever Doug Duggerson came on, big smile came on my face. His quote about being breastfeeding until he was 18 put a smile on my face, and I stood with him in solidarity. I'm joking, but you know, Doug. Otherwise, man, I don't really have anything else to say about this film other than it was a movie, and you know, I actually wouldn't mind watching it again, like having it on the background, not like actually watching it. I think it'd be fine, like, because it's one of those things where like this is a work of art, this is what people made, and I guess maybe there's more I can learn about it, and it's quirky cast of people who not many people know a lot about.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch this movie for a while, only because I just watched it twice in 2 days, which is a bit much for this style of film. But if I was having a party,
you burned yourself out.
I did. I definitely did. I think if I was having a party, maybe, and you know, someone said, "Hey, do you want to watch a dumb zombie movie, or you know, a silly zombie movie, or a funny zombie movie?" Like this would come to mind now. At least I have that in my bag of tricks.
We would do Return of the Living Dead. There's no way.
See, I haven't seen that one officially yet to say whether or not I'd pick that as a comedy, you know, as an official comedy. But I can't wait till we get to that one, because it'll be, I think, so many people talk so highly of it that it better be good. Otherwise, I'm going to be really pissed. Everyone says Return of the Living Dead 3 is the best one. That's what I keep hearing.
Which one?
Return of the Living Dead 3.
Okay. I don't know who says that's the best one, because I'm going to have to tell you it's definitely not the best one. And when you see it, you will be like, yeah, maybe we'll watch that one first so we can just taper your expectations on the
there
first one.
I like it.
I'm going to have to tell you, man, it's not. It's really weird. It's really weird. You never expect a zombie movie to go in that direction. So 1980s.
I love watching franchises that people love out of order. Because a lot of times, if you love a franchise, like I love Phantasm, so I'm going to tell people, watch that shit in order, right? But if someone went and watched Ravager first, which is the final film, they may never, ever, 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 ever want to touch another Phantasm film. Because watching that one first really ruins a lot of the idea behind everything, and it just takes it so much further in a specific direction. So like if Return of the Living Dead 3 does something similar like that, you know, it could really ruin the return on investment for the other ones. But I have a feeling
the tone is completely different from the first and third movie.
Yeah.
The first one is completely fun. The third one is a bit more serious. Like imagine them taking Night of the Living or Bong of the Living Dead and splitting it into like a funny one and then the drama one.
And it's only the drama piece?
I would say it's a bit more dramatic, yeah. Hmm. I wouldn't say it's as fun. It's a bit more edgy and drama-y.
I think when we get there, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that watch fest. I'm excited. And I know
Let's do it. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Ready for that. By the time everybody in the audience will hear, they'll be like, oh, yeah, the Halloween live stream was pretty good, wasn't it, guys? Wasn't that great? Wasn't it amazing?
I hope thanks they for had watching. A lot of fun.
thanks for checking that out. Anyhow, I know we're kind of getting off topic here with this movie, but, you know, whatever.
There's not a lot to this movie to talk about, so.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'd say we're actively trying to not talk about it.
I have one thing about the movie to ask you, or one last thing to check on. All right, so this movie was made in 2017, probably built over maybe 2015, 2016. I don't know how long the Indiegogo ran for. But there's a lot of interesting similarities to what's happening in this film to what we're going through in real life right now.
With COVID-19, and I thought of that.
Uh-huh.
I almost sent that to you.
And Councilman Pat Swanson, and how he's like, during this epidemic, I'm going to be your political man. And he's like totally like pushing an agenda. And the guys sitting on the couch getting baked, they're just like, man, even during a pandemic, we can't get away from politicians. It's like everybody.
Yeah. Everything in this movie felt like COVID-19.
Right.
We're losing because against the zombies because we're idiots.
It's crazy. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that similarity up because I couldn't get past it when I was watching it. I was like, holy cow, man. That's nuts.
No, you're completely right.
All right. That's my last thing on Bong of the Living Dead. Thanks for picking this, Clark. Well, I really appreciate you.
I think it's something we needed to experience to really grow as a couple. Anyhow, let's talk about what you've been up to lately.
So in the last week, I've watched two episodes of Lovecraft Country, and I can't speak highly enough of it. I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of, you know, once again, everything created out of art or out of, you know, I can't think of the right word right now, but the social commentary inside of that show is also a lot of fun, but it's also horror related, which is really cool to see. You and I did a couple of movies a while back, I think beginning of the season, maybe middle of the season, where we talked a lot about H.P. Lovecraft, and getting to see some more ideas kind of come to light in a fun, entertaining way is cool. So I'm excited to finish it out. It's not a whole lot of episodes, but they're an hour apiece, so it's kind of a long watch to sit and get through. But so far, so good. So damn good. What have you been up to?
Man, Lovecraft Country, I've only seen like some of the first episode, but it looks pretty good, man. The vampire is showing up. I've been getting into lots of messes, making a lot of them too. But one of my favorite messes that I've been able to make is with this show called Evil. It's like, I don't know if I've talked about this yet, but it's a pretty messy show in terms of they decided to grab The Exorcism and Silence of the Lambs and then just smush them together. So the main character is basically Clarice, and the main villain for like the first couple episodes is essentially Hannibal Lecter, but he's possessed by Satan or a demon.
Okay.
So, and she's Catholic, so it's got the Catholic religious undertones, where if you say Our Father's Prayer, stuff like that. And it's been kind of, it's a slow burn. It's kind of messy. It's kind of, Silence of the Lambs and Possession. I have, yes.
Okay, so that's what it's feeling a lot like Exorcist 3 mixed with Silence of the Lambs, even more specific.
Sounds good. I would say the exorcism more than Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounds really good. It sounds super good. I'm gonna have to put it on my list.
No. You might like it. It might be up your alley. Otherwise, I have nothing, so I think I wanna plug our social media, which is the number 2 Guys Horror Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Curtis does lots of fun live streams. Most days right now we're doing, well, he did 30 days of Halloween, 31 days of Halloween, mm-hmm. which he really enjoyed. And I don't know what we have going on here in November, Curtis. Do you have anything you kind of bring up with that?
No, nothing specific. We usually do polls every Monday on Twitter to pick what we're going to watch Fridays at lunchtime. I took a break for a little while after my wife's grandfather passed, just because life got a little busy, so I wasn't able to do them every Friday. But this past November we started back up, so every Monday there's a new poll. You can pick between one of 4 movies. I just pick movies at random usually. Whatever wins, that's what we watch on Fridays. We hang out together at noon Mountain Standard Time, and yeah, so keep an eye out every Monday for those polls.
Check it out. Check it out. And also, feel free to email us at our email address, which is the word to TWO, twoguysandsomehorror@gmail.com. That is twoguysandsomehorror@gmail.com. If you have anything you'd like us to watch, we've been getting a couple film requests here and there, which is pretty cool. It's nice to see our listener base kind of grow as we make more friends and meet more people in the community. So thank you, everyone, for all the support you give us, and we really appreciate you.
Yes, be on the lookout. Shocker's coming up soon, Sasquatch. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.